Matthew's 28. Well, Brother Danny, this morning, he got up there and preached my message. At least he preached out of a different verse than I'm going to use. He used John, I'm going to use Matthew's. Brother Robert Cranfield, will you pray for us? Yes, God.
I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for everything, God in heaven, that you've done for us. Always taking care of us and supplying every need according to your blessed will. And I, Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray for Brother Chant, God in heaven, that you, Lord, will give him what he needs to preach. And I pray, Father, that you help him, that you will give him what
yes,
he
needs, Lord.
That you, Father, just help him to preach the word of God. And
yes.
I'm glad, Lord, that I know that you are the way and there's no other way.
Yes.
And I pass to the point, Lord, we pray for him that you help him. I, Father, you know, for his dad and you know what
oh, God.
And I, Father, you know what needs in every heart to shield us for it.
Oh, Lord.
You know what we need, God, in heaven, and I pray, Lord, that you supply. And thy will be done, I, Father, thy God. And Brother Shank, help him preach, and I give him what he needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad Lord let me wake up another day. But it'd been all right if I didn't wake up down here. I'd be up there. Either way, you're a winner. Either way, you're a winner. I want to preach out of Matthew 28, beginning verse 1. I'm going to read these verses. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, I want you to listen to that. There was a great earthquake.
Right.
Now, you think that would wake everybody out of bed if it was a great earthquake.
Right.
For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, buddy, I say that's scared. Shake and become as a dead man. You ever been asleep and you have a dream and you can't wake up and you hear, you feel yourself trying to holler or say something, but you can't wake up? I mean, I can just imagine them. These guys, they was as dead men. They just scared them so bad. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come ye see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall see me. And there they shall see me. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and that had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and they did as they were taught, as the saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. This morning I want to look at this, and the Christians, we should celebrate this as not as Easter, but as a resurrection day.
Right.
It's the resurrection day. I mean, I could get nasty or whatever and go in about Easter and all this, but I'm not doing none of that, what history says and all that. But I'm glad it's a resurrection day. And if I were maybe remind you, this Sunday, there's always, whatever year is a new resurrection day. I mean, I know there's been commercialized with the bunnies and the baskets and all this other stuff, and they leave Jesus Christ out of it. It's a crying shame today that in your churches, they have think more about the Easter eggs and their hunt than having Jesus Christ. Why don't they have a sign out there, today is resurrection day. Today Jesus rose from the dead. Today He took away your sins. He went and suffered on the cross of Calvary.
Right.
If we read on over back in the verses, as He was beaten and how He was spit upon, and they pulled His beard out and they beat Him with a cat of nine tails and they lashed thorns down His head, and how they took Him and hung Him on the cross, and how they shed His blood so that we might not have to go to hell. And so, hey, it wasn't nothing about no bunnies or nothing, chickens and all. What the hell have nothing to do with my Savior dying on the cross. He died on the cross that you might not go to hell.
Yeah.
He died on the cross that you could have forgiveness.
Right.
And I tell you what, today, people today have forgotten that it's resurrection day.
Right.
Wonder how many messages will be preached this morning about how Jesus died on the cross and how He was resurrected on the third day.
Yeah. Right.
He said He was going to, and He did it. With our minds this morning, I want to journey back to that first resurrection day morning and let's look at some events that took place at the tomb of Jesus and see what happened and what it means for you and me at that time. And I want to look at the first resurrection day. Number one, the approach of the women. The approach of the women, Brother Danny mentioned something about it. Brother Matthews records that the fact that two women came that morning. They came that morning. The gospel writers reveal the other fact, and the other also came in the other books that reviews that. And there was no contradiction there. It just happened at different times. And different groups come at different times. However, they came, they were saddened, and they were defeated, and they were discouraged because their Savior had been put to death.
Right.
He was dead, and they looked on the tomb, and when they looked on the tomb, they seen the stone there. They know that was it was final. And here, I can't get there, but we're the same way. It's your humanity and you, it's the human part of you. Here He told them He was coming back. He said it's all going to take place. He laid it out for them, told them months and months and months, and laid it out for them and told them. But yet when they come, when He died on the cross, they was all discouraged. They was sad. They was crying. They was defeated.
Right.
Why did they do that? Because they thought it was all over with. They thought it was all over with. But what did He tell them? He said He was coming back.
Yeah.
Some came to look in Matthew 28:1. They just come to look, you know, they come to look upon. Some people did come out there to look. So He said, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Just come to see it. You know, wanting to see it. And when they got there, there was a great shock to them that they had a problem. Well, they was thinking, well, you know, when we get there, they wanted to go in and see Jesus and refresh the perfume and stuff they put on Him and embalmed Him with. And they, in their minds, they thought, well, how are we going to get it past the rock? You know, the rock, the big stone that was rolled there. And some of the witnesses heard that they was going there, so they wanted to see what was going to happen. And as they come to look, and they come, and then you got other ones that come to the labor. They come in there on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. They came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others were with them. These verses teach us some of the women came to perform the last labor of love. It's the last labor of love they thought they was going to have. And here the women come, and they had this problem on their mind about this rock being there, I guess, where they hewed it out of stone, and this big rock put there. And then these people, when they came, everything was different than what they had in their mind, what they thought it was going to be. And some came and to linger. Over in John 20, 11 through 18, I'm not going to read that. Now, these verses that tell us Mary Magdalene, she lingered around at the altar. At the gravesite. She hung around, wouldn't go away. She didn't want to go away. And this woman loved Jesus much. She loved him much because he done much for her. He cast out the devils that was in her. He made her, changed her whole life, and just gave her so much love for him. And she wanted to love him, and didn't want him to leave, see him leave. But yet it happened. And you know, if you remember, she was one of the last at the cross. She was not only last at the tomb; she was the last at the cross when he took him down. And she was the first to see him when he risen from the dead. Yeah. Yeah. She rose from the dead. She was the first. She loved him. You know, they had these sunrise services, and you know, they go out there and it's in the cold, and you have it. I've done this before, but you know, you go out there in the sunrise service, like that makes you holier now, I reckon, or something. But sit out there in the cold and let the sun come up, then have a little service. That doesn't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing at all. You can go out there and sit out there and do that. I don't want to sit out there. I want to wait till Jesus comes and takes me home. I tell you what, you can identify with these women. You can identify with these women. You can thank God that Jesus wasn't there. You can thank God that we can look and see that the tomb was empty, that he had gone to be with God, and then he come back. I'm glad he come back then, and then he went away again, but I'm glad he's coming back again. One day he's coming back, and surely you got to know this woman, that her heart was broken, but she still came to love and worship Jesus. We ought to thank God for what he's done for us and how he's saved us and how he's come into our hearts and how we've, the Holy Ghost has come in the midst of us. And we ought to be honored when the Holy Ghost comes in. And God, you feel the Spirit of God moving. You ought to be honored. You ought to be shouting in your heart and praising God for what he's done for you. Some people don't come to church except on Christmas or Easter. Some people, you know, they forget church, God, the rest of the time. Jesus is still here. He's still in the house of God. Even if you're not here, he is here. And I'm glad I am the temple of God. He's in me. And if you're laying out of church and don't come, well, you're part of the church. Why ain't you here? Why not? Where's the same God, the same Lord, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood that I might be saved? And you say you're saved, he shed his blood, it's for you too. And I tell you, it's just odd that sometimes people forget about God and they just come when it's convenient unto them. What if Christ had not have went to Calvary because it wasn't convenient, Brother Danny? It wasn't convenient for him to go to the cross today. I think I'll wait and go another time. No, he had an appointed time to go to the cross. He had an appointed time to suffer all that he suffered. He had an appointed time, and he was right on time. He was right on the time when he died on the cross. He was right on time when he rose from the dead. Hallelujah, I'm glad he He'll be on time, thank God, when the trumpet sounds and we get out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not always on time, but He'll be on time. Say what you want. All these other people, they do all this stuff and have all these big Easter egg hunts, and that's fine. But why they got to? It gets me. They get put more on finding Easter eggs than they do on Jesus Christ. It's the day He arose for us. And next I want to look at the activity of the angels. Humanity was the only one that sent the ambassadors to the tomb. I mean, the humanity side, they listened, and they said, well, they said He's going to rise again. They said, let's put a seal, they told the king, and they put a seal on the rock. And then they put guys out there watching that, watching the tomb. And you know what? I'm glad Jesus Christ, when He rose, there were some emissaries. The angels come down, was sitting there. And the angels was there. And can you imagine? And it says in there, it says, when the angels come, it says there was a great earthquake, a great earthquake. I believe the whole earth shook. Yeah. I believe it shook. Can you imagine? How could a people? Well, I've been running out. I want to see what's going on. What's happening? What's going on? But you know what gets me? His only disciples, they were running. They was running hid, and they was too chicken to come. You know. And they had to be told. But Jesus Christ told them He was coming again. He said He was coming back. And this resurrection Sunday, and as them women went there, the stone, the angels come and rolled the stone back. That was an obstacle that what they had in front of them was getting rid of the stone. And Mark 16:1 tells us that while the women made their way to the tomb finish preparing the body and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of their concerns was that big stone. And to represent the finality of death was that stone there. I mean, he was in behind that stone. He was dead, according to them. They didn't believe Him. They didn't believe Him. To an extent, they didn't believe Him. He said He wouldn't be there. You know, you take them. Here, that stone there, and that means He's gone forever.
Yeah.
He's gone forever. Thank God. God took care of that stone. Not to let Jesus out. He didn't do it to let Jesus out. He did it to let them in. He did it to let them look in there and see that the tomb was empty.
Yeah.
He rolled away that stone that the men could look in that tomb. And I tell you what, it's empty. And it's empty forever. It's even empty today.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. And then an obstacle that should have been rolled away, another obstacle that they had was the soldiers there.
Yeah.
Well, God took care of them. I mean, when them angels come and earthquake come, I mean, they fell down. They were so scared they couldn't even move. Like Brother Danny said this morning, hey, if they'd have slept, fell asleep there, they would have been put to death. When they was put on guard to watch something, they had to watch it. I reckon if you had to put toothpicks in your eyes and hold them open, you wasn't supposed to sleep or he'd have killed you. They'd have killed you, the king would. But I tell you, they tell us that the chief priests and the Pharisees was concerned that the prophecy of Jesus might actually come true. They was concerned it was going to come true.
Yeah.
Where was the concern of the disciples? I mean, why wasn't they out there waiting on that throne? Why wasn't they out there just waiting to see, is it going to rise? Is it coming up like He said? Is it going to come out? But no, the soldiers, they put the soldiers out there. And it's sad to say that the rank infidels know more about the Bible and believe it more than the people who claim to know Jesus. That's sad. I mean, so they sealed the tomb, they posted command of guards, and they detached attachment of soldiers there, and this battle-hardened man, these battle-hardened, I'm talking about men who had fought and killed people, and just, you know, murders, and boy, when they seen them angles, they fainted. I mean, can you imagine their knees knocking together? You've been so scared your knees are shaking?
Right.
I have.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they fell down as if they were dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
They laid there. And I tell you, couldn't move a muscle. All this going on around them. Jesus Christ rose from the tomb. I tell you what, and they couldn't even see nothing going on. But those old soldiers, they were scared to death. And then there's a third obstacle there that he reminded the saints of. And this is the angel. The angel began to speak to the women that morning. The greatest obstacle of all removed was unbelief. Unbelief. It was unbelief that was removed. They didn't believe he was going to die raised from the dead. If they had believed, they'd have been out there waiting for him. But when they come there and the angels spoke to them, the unbelief was gone.
Yeah.
Then they had faith that he was rose from the dead. They believed that he was rose from the dead. I tell you, Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back again. I tell you, we need to take notice. He told them there he was going to die in 3 days in the earth and go down to hell and come back and go to heaven and take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he was called home one day, and that rapture will take place. And whether you're ready or whether you're not, whether you believe it or you don't, you'll die and you'll go to hell. Thank God, I'm glad. I'm going to be in heaven, thank God. I'm glad my Lord's going, he does what he says.
Yeah.
And then verse 5 there, it reminds us of some things. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. They was reminding them that he was crucified. Well, they know he was crucified. The women know, but he still reminded them, and the fact that he was dead, death was emphasized there. He said he was crucified. You know, they seen the death. He was telling, he was crucified. But then he, what happened is he rose up. He said in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and his stripes we were healed. And all we are like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, that was our iniquity that was laid upon him. Your sins that he took upon him and carried them to hell. And I'm telling you, he did it for you. What do you do for him? Can't even come to church half the time. I tell you, can't pray half the time. Don't read a Bible like I should. What are we?
Right.
He said we should be Christ-like.
Right.
Christians mean little Christes. Tell you, we fail. God said, Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things that allow are purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Had he not died,
right,
we would not be able to go to heaven.
Right.
We'd all go to hell.
Yeah.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad it says that. Brother Danny, I had some wicked sins in my life. And God said he cleansed us from all sin. There ain't nothing he can't clean you from. I'm telling you, the wickedest murderer in the prison over yonder, if he would pour his heart out to God, I don't mean this 1, 2, 3, and all this bull in the back where they read and say this and say that, even though it's the Word of God, verse 10 of chapter of Romans, and they read over there and they say this, say that, you're saved. I'm not talking about voice salvation. I'm talking about heart salvation. I'm talking about, I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how mean you are. I don't care how much you drink. Whatever you do, God can save you through His precious blood, through the power of the Holy Ghost. By the moving of God, when He can move in your heart, you say, hey, I'm not good enough to get... But no, you're right, you're not good enough. I wasn't good enough. Okay. There's nobody good enough. But He was good enough. He died for you. He died because He loved you. He seen me before I ever seen Him. He seen me in heaven. He sees me already there. Thank God. I'm glad today to know that if I fall dead right now, thank God, I know my home's in heaven. You say, how can you know that? The Word of God. The Word of God tells me that. It's all in the Word of God. In verse 6 up there, the present, he reminds you of the present. Angels tell him, you're here at His tomb, but Jesus isn't here. He's risen. And my friends, the greatest proclamation ever to fall upon human ears is His death was the perfect eternal payment for sins, but His resurrection was God's receipt for the whole full amount.
Yeah.
Under God, boy, I got cold chills everywhere. He was the full receipt. Hey, there's no more than pain. Nothing can be paid. Nothing can be added to it. He died on the cross and did all that for us. Now you can't live good enough. I don't care how good you try. You can't live good enough. It's the last thing. Man, when He died, that was a full amount of receipt paid.
Thank you.
What did you do? What would you do when you go to a cafe somewhere? I've done this for people before. And go to a cafe and you see somebody you know and go over and pick their... I had a waitress. I said, bring me their bill. And I paid their bill for them. Their bill was paid. The receipt, the full amount paid. Thank God, I'm glad that day, August 15, 1976, the full amount had been paid. The receipt was written. Thank God, I didn't know nothing. All my life is washed clean by the blood of the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Get up and run for me, Danny. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was full amount wiped clean. Brother Keith, all your sins wiped clean. Here's a full receipt was paid.
Sure, that's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you see a dead Savior, and He can't save you. He can't do nothing. He can't help nobody. A dead Savior can't. But a living Savior can offer salvation to all who will come to Him by faith. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished.
Yeah.
And when He rose from the dead, God the Father said, I am satisfied.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I am satisfied. Yeah. Amen. And Jesus' blood took away the sin. They didn't have to be no more sheep or lambs offered up. He was the Lamb.
Yeah.
Thank God. Hallelujah. It was all paid for.
Right.
Thank God. Praise the Lamb of God. He said it was, I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, He'd proven that what He claimed to all of them. He'd proven, He said in John 11:25, it said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Never die!
Amen.
The This body might lay down, but my spirit's going to never die. Thank God I'm never going to die.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine getting to heaven? Thank God. Get up there and get to meet people that you never know. Hallelujah. You might have had a child sometime. Oh, glory to God. And it might have been dead at birth. And when you get to heaven, you'll meet that child. Hallelujah. Thank God. I got grandpa and grandmas I've never seen, never know. Thank God they got saved. Hallelujah. I'll see them one day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad today He's risen. Resurrection Day. Oh man, I'm telling you, it's good. I love the Word of God, boy. You get to talk about Jesus, right? And the blood of Jesus Christ, boy, I like that. Now He can declare His victory over death in Revelation 1:18. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And He had the keys of hell and death. He had the keys of hell and death. They don't nobody go to hell unless Jesus opens the door for them.
Yeah.
Are you going? Are you saved today? Thank God, buddy. You need to get saved. This don't thrill your soul. There's something wrong with you. I'm telling you what, I'm about to have a fit. Over in verse 6, you get the promise. There's a promise there in verse 6. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place where He lay. He wasn't there no more. You know, they are reminded that His resurrection should not have taken them surprise. It shouldn't have took them by surprise. It shook them up. It surprised them all. She Mary went out there and surprised her when He wasn't there. You know, he said over in Matthew 12:40, he said, for Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and so shall the Son of God be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And Matthew 16:21, I mean, He's telling them over and over and over. He said, forth began Jesus to show the disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things, and elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again for the dead on the third day. He told them that He was going to die. He told them He's going to be crucified. He's told them He's coming again. He's told you He died for you. I've read here this morning. He's told you He's died for you.
Amen.
He died on a cross. He's told you He's coming again. He is coming again. Now, whether you're ready or not, I don't know. But you better know that you're ready, because He is coming again. And there's proof that He's coming again. The angel's invitation is for them to look into the tomb and see themselves that Jesus is gone. He said, come look, see, He's gone. And when he looked to see He's gone, later, when Peter and John, or I see John, he'd been a servant before, and Brother Danny talked about this morning, and John and Peter come running in there, and they arrive, and Peter stood at the door, and John, he went inside, and he saw that linen cloth there, and he saw that wrappings that Jesus was in. And you know, if they would have stole Him out of there, they would have took His clothes and everything if somebody would have stole Him. They tried to say He stole it. They took it all. But His clothes, can you imagine? They were still, the wrappings was wrapped up like a cocoon laying there. And then there's that napkin, like Brother Danny says. And he was folded. And that means that he was coming back. He's coming back.
Right.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Now, if he just wadded it down, throwed it down like Brother Danny said this morning, he wasn't going to come back. But he's coming back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Sister Sylvia, I'm glad he's coming back. He come back for you. He come back for me. I thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One day, it's going to be a reality. One day, we're going to go home to be with Jesus. One day, thank God. I'm glad. I hope it's today. Praise God. Resurrection Day. Tell you what. This thing take place in these grave clothes there that show John, hey, it's the truth. He's gone. He's coming again. And I tell you what, they had an ancient original custom about that napkin. That's what he was talking about this morning. This ain't just something you made up. You go back and see, that's our problem. People's problem is they read the Bible, but they never search nothing out. If you get in history, search out and find things, you'll find out all this stuff is true. And it's the truth, it's the Word of God. And then there's a plan there in verse 7 and 8. He said, and go quickly and tell disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into the Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. I tell you, the appearance of the Lord, as they were going to the others, Jesus himself met them in the way. He met them in a way they didn't realize, but he met them in a way. And he came to them in a personal word of encouragement and said, oh, hell. And he came to them personally so that they might know firsthand that indeed he had risen from the dead. Why? I mean, they knew he was going to do it. Why was it such a surprise? See, that's what's going to happen. The rapture's going to take place. And it's going to take you by surprise. If you're lost, you're going to think, you know, they've been going on for years and years and years about the body snatchers and all these different things, matter space. What do you think? What do you think they've been getting you tuned in for? The zombies and all this mess. They get you tuned in for the day when the rapture takes place. And they try to make up a story about Jesus Christ, but it didn't happen. And I tell you what, it ain't going to happen when he comes back the next time. But they were to go and share the good news that Jesus was risen from the dead. Those disciples were, you know, they were supposed to go tell. But what were they doing? They was cowering. They was hiding. They were scared to death. They didn't want to get their head cut off. They were scared. I'd probably been scared too. No doubt. I probably would. You'd be scared. But Mary, she wasn't. She stayed out there and lingered on. Stayed on. That shows you, in half your churches, you got more women than you have men. Because the men, they just chicken and just can't get in there. They just always got something to do. It's a wonderful thing to hear from others that Jesus, what Jesus can do. It's a wonderful thing to hear that Jesus saved your soul. I like it when Brother Robert tells me about getting saved. Brother Bobby tells me about getting saved. Brother Keith, all of y'all, when you tell about getting saved, I like it. It thrills my soul to hear what God done for you. He done for me too. He didn't just do it for you. I tell you what, it's a great day. The appearance of the Savior is a great day. The appearance of the Lord, as they were going to tell all these others that he said that, hell, all hell, and they met him, and they were all happy, and they ran to him and hugged his feet and everything, and admiration of the Lord when they meet him. You know, they're so ecstatic with love and glory. They shouldn't have been so surprised. They should have been waiting for him. Their natural reactions, those who loved him, they cannot help but they come into his presence with worship and praise. It is a fact that those who know Jesus is risen from the Savior, we come in here with worship to him. I go to my prayer room, I get down and pray, I pray and worship Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's good. It's good to know that you're saved. The assurance of the Lord When the Lord speaks of these ladies, He comforts them in their heart. He comforts them, comforts their mission. And He assures them that all these cares of all that arises in life will be took care of, and their things they're afraid of will be took care of. And that was glorious news unto them. And you know, you got out the allegations of the enemy. They had made up different things about what happened and where did Jesus go. They said, you know, had they come and stole him from the dead. But you know, that's a funny thing. They stole him from the dead. Like I said, did they take his clothes off and carry him out naked? Did they take him with all his clothes? No, the clothes was left there. Everything was left there. But I thank God that He did rise from the dead. And if you go over there in the Eastern country, and you go over there by way of, as the religious systems in this world, and you bother by the, you know, if you kind of go by the empty tomb of Buddha over in China, you go to his tomb, it's going to say occupied. It's going to have occupied on it. Yeah. And you travel over to the Middle East and the tomb of Muhammad, it'll say occupied. It's going to say occupied on it because he's still in there. He never come up. And you travel to Russia and that glass coffin they got there with linen in it, he's occupied. You can see him in there. Hey, let me tell you what. You can go over to Palestine to where the tomb, the rock where Jesus Christ was laid. It says empty, vacant. There's no one here. Thank God for that. And I tell you what, then you got these people. They was perjury. They told them they'd pay them out of it and get them out of it if they said that. Told them they fell asleep and they put in a word for them. I tell you what, I'm glad Jesus died. There's a couple different theories on this, and I'm through. There's a theory that, this is stupid. I mean, there's a theory, I read this in a book, the theory that Jesus wasn't dead, he just fainted on the cross. And that's what I said. Just fainted on the cross, and they thought he was dead, and then they embalmed him now. And he survived that. And then he spent 3 days and nights in a cold tomb without medical treatment. And he survived that. And then he's weakened in a state, managed his weakened state now. He managed to roll that. Where it took all them guards to roll out, he rolled the rock out. Now, this is what some people believe. That's what they tell. And then they got the theory, another theory. It's called the wrong theory. The wrong theory is they put him in a wrong grave. They went over there looking for where they put him, and they put him in a different tomb, and they couldn't find him. So that's the theories they have. Which theory do you believe? I believe he rose from the dead, hallelujah. Thank God I've got life because he gave me life. Because he has life. He rose from the tomb. Hallelujah. I'm glad today is Resurrection Day. I thank God that I know that just as He resurrected, one day, if He don't come, I'm going to die and I'm going to go be with Him. Or if He comes in the air, I'm going to go be with Him then. One way or the other, I'm going to go be with Him. Are you going? Are you going? Everybody stand, please.